I would have you know that I am working even in this hour to prepare those who will be serving me at a level that is deeper than they've ever known. I am equipping them and preparing them spiritually, and I will use them greatly with a mighty anointing, and my power shall operate through them. They are going to be vessels of honor unto me. Those of you in my church who will submit yourself and press deeper into me, I will use you in this manner. I am seeking for those who are totally sold out to me. For the compromise in my church is like a cancer, and it has been spreading and spreading, and it's impacting many of my children, and they don't even realize that they've been impacted by it. But in the days to come, those who are serving me, truly serving me from the pulpits, I will be using their voices to expose where the compromise lies. And many, many of my children are going to be greatly challenged. For you see, I am working a purging and a purifying work. And those who will submit to it, I will use greatly in these last days. So make a decision. A decision as to whether or not you want me to use you. And if you do, then prepare yourself, for I will work in you and prepare you, furnish you, equip you spiritually for great things. There are many who will not choose this, many who will simply live out their time here on this earth. And I will receive them with rejoicing. But there is so much more that awaits anyone who will press into me. So I say unto you, choose wisely and realize sacrifice is required. The sacrifice of your time to be given unto me. But I will reward you greatly, for my presence in your life will increase tremendously. And you will realize that my presence is truly the greatest reward of all. So prepare yourself if you wish, and I will work in you and prepare you for great use in these last days, says the Lord. Let's go ahead and open to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Going to look at a few passages of Scripture and then get into something that I think is kind of interesting. Matthew 28. And this is right before Jesus is ascending back to the Father. And it says here in Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So like I said, this is after Jesus has been crucified, and it's not going to be long. He's going to be, he'll ascend back up to the Father. But essentially, what he's saying here is, go out and tell everybody about me and how that they can have salvation through me. But verse 20, this teaching part, this is something that's very critical, because this is not simply a matter of telling people you must be born again. This is also a matter of teaching them to observe, and let me just kind of paraphrase it my way, teaching them to observe, know, understand, live by every word that's proceeded forth out of the mouth of God. Just another way of saying this. So along with leading people to Jesus Christ, there's a responsibility to what we would call disciple them. We're supposed to be discipling them to be followers of Jesus, not followers of a church or a denomination or some group. Sadly, a lot of the discipling that's done is relative to a specific organization. And sometimes that's helpful to a degree. But here we see a responsibility. Now, that responsibility to disciple is not simply, well, for the 11. And it's not simply for the pastors or the teachers. Evangelists typically don't do a whole lot of discipling. Now, they can. That's not to say that they don't or won't. But generally, that's left to the pastor and the teacher. Then obviously the apostle would fit into that as well. And to a degree, yeah, definitely the prophet. It's not just for those who are called to stand behind a pulpit, but it's a responsibility for all believers. And this is where so many of us have made a mistake. Over the years, I've had a lot of people contact me on behalf of somebody else and say, I'll just kind of make it up, you know. Well, could you meet with, you know, so-and-so? Because they've got some questions. So in my mind, I'm wondering, if they have questions, why aren't you answering? In part, it's because, I guess most Christians, they either don't want to deal with it, or they're afraid to. They don't think they can. Yet this is a responsibility for all of us. Now look over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, obviously Paul wrote this to Timothy, but if you remember, in the book of Corinthians, Paul told the Corinthians that he was sending Timothy because Timothy taught the same things that Paul taught in every church. When we see this instruction, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If this is an instruction from Paul to Timothy, then we know for a certainty this would be an instruction from Timothy to wherever he went. And if Paul is going to tell Timothy to do this, then he definitely is going to teach the churches, the people, wherever he goes, the same kind of a thing. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So then the question would be, if you are not a pastor, and if you are not in a pulpit ministry, are you as a believer studying to show yourself approved unto God? Now, nobody's going to answer that. Because we don't want to. The reason we don't want to is because we're afraid that if we answer it honestly, it's going to reveal some things about us that we don't want revealed publicly. So we'll just sit there and we'll listen. I understand. But that still doesn't take us away from this responsibility. Answer this question for yourself. Are you studying and rightly dividing the word of truth? Well, yes, Brother Martin, I read the Bible every day. Why? That's great. I mean, you should. That wasn't the question. The question was, are you studying to show yourself approved? Now, many Christians would have no idea what that means. So let's move on. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the Christian, the believer, may be spiritually mature, and thoroughly furnished in a spiritual manner unto all good works, everything that God has called that person to do. I'm supposed to study and rightly divide the word of truth, and I realize here that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for things that aren't going to take place unless I am studying and rightly dividing. The result of my studying and rightly dividing is that I will be, verse 17, perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, knowing that, the question should be, you know, am I doing this? Those of you listening to this, I mean, is this something that you're doing? Most Christians, to be gentle, most Christians would rather that this subject not even come up. Because most Christians, well, okay, I'll show you. Look in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, we're going to jump in the middle of this, but in Hebrews chapter 5, it says in verse 12, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers." He didn't not call to a pulpit ministry, but let me say it like this. "For when the time ye ought to be disciplers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, where he says who by reason of use, the thing that they're using is the milk which leads to the meat. In other words, they're using the word. And the word leads them to a place of spiritual discernment to understand the difference between really what is truth today and what is deception. And he says, you know what? Verse 1 of chapter 6. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit." In other words, if God says, okay, they're ready for teaching that goes beyond this, then we will teach you this. Right here, this passage, where he says in verse 12, "By now you ought to be teachers." The problem is you need somebody to come along and teach you again, which be the basic things. Basic things of Christianity, basic things of, you know, faith in Christ and so forth. This is where most of the body of Christ exists. Now I know that because of conversations I hear, read, questions I receive, and interaction whereby so many Christians seem confused and unknowledgeable about a lot of things which are very fundamental. For example, in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, look, we're going to go on to perfection, or we're going to move forward in our spiritual growth. And we're not going to lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Okay, now, how many of you, and again, you know, no raised hands or anything like that, but how many of you in here could teach what it means, repentance from dead works? Could you do that? You should be able to, because this is a very foundational thing. He also says, the foundation of faith toward God. Now, this is written to believers, so therefore this cannot be faith toward God to be born again. This would be faith toward God, really, for every aspect of life as a Christian here on earth. We hear all the time, well, you know, you're supposed to live by faith. Yeah, well, do you really know what that means?
Yes, Brother Martin, I'm believing God for lots of money. Okay. Yeah, that's the way it comes across a lot of times. That's not what this is talking about. What about the doctrine of baptisms? Could you teach on that? This is foundational. Could you teach on that? You say, well, Brother Martin, I don't even have a clue. I mean, baptisms, that's plural. How many are there? My point exactly. And what about this next one, the laying on of hands? Could you teach on that? Well, yeah, there's a verse over there that says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's not the only time laying on of hands is referenced in Scripture. Could you teach about what it means, this whole laying on of hand things, and eternal judgment? Could you teach on that? Especially nowadays, could you teach on that? Could you explain what is eternal judgment? What does it mean? To whom is it applied? And what are the potential results of eternal judgment? What's going on here? Could you teach on this? Now let's think about us right here. In this, well, everybody who calls this their home church, whether you're here in person or you live afar, and by way of the internet, you watch our services, and you think of us as your home church. Could you teach on those things that we've just identified? Could you do it? Now, many people might say, in fact, if you were to ask me, right now, Brother Martin, right now, I mean right this moment, could you teach on those? What I would tell you is yes, very briefly, but give me 24 hours and I'll be able to put together a lesson that will be extremely detailed with a lot of scripture on any one of those subjects. I can do it. I do not have the Bible memorized. A lot of people, I guess they do, but I don't. So give me 24 hours and I'll be able to do it. Now, you guys have been around long enough, you know my style of teaching, so you know the type of lesson or message that I would probably bring forth given that 24-hour period. In fact, really, it wouldn't take me 24 hours. You know, let's take a break for about 4 hours and, you know, we'll come back together and I'll be ready to go. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. Okay, now, but could you do that? Those of you who have been here and you call this your home church and you've been attending these services for, you know, how many years? Could you do this? If given 24 hours, could you do it? Say, well, Brother Martin, I work a full-time job. Okay, I'll tell you what. We'll give you 7 days. Give you a whole week. Could you do it? Now, a lot of people would be hearing me say that and they would almost start shaking inside, trembling, you know, please, please don't tell me you're going to ask me to teach on. Please, don't tell me I'm next week's preacher. Please, Brother Martin. Please. Don't worry. I'm not asking anybody to preach next week, all right? So you can, that's already been taken care of. So, but could you do that? You should be able to. If you've been here for a while, you've been listening for a while, you should be able to. And I'm not trying to be harsh or critical to anybody. What I'm trying to do is to help us understand that when it comes to the whole concept of discipling, we all have this responsibility. Every single one of us. There are no exceptions. In fact, as parents, we should be able to sit down with our kids and explain to them the repentance from dead works, what this means. And, well, all of these things that are listed here. We should be able to do that as parents. I mean, and again, I'm talking about folks that have been around this ministry for a long time, for a number of years. And, you know, again, that's all of you watching and so forth. You should be able to do this and do it very effectively. Now, I don't mean that you should be able to do it exactly the way I do it, because your style, your manner of presentation, your personality, all of that is different. So the way that you would do it would be very different from me, and the way that I do it would be very different from you. So we understand all of that. It's just, could you do this? Could you do this and do it in a way that presents from Scripture what God has to say, the truth on these matters? A lot of Christians, in fact, really most Christians do not do this at all. Many times people would say, I like to, but you know, I don't know where to start. Well, my question would be, why not? Why don't you know where to start? You should know by now where to start. A lot of Christians, they depend on their pastor. But guys, I got news for you. There are a lot of pastors out there that shouldn't be pastoring. If I were God, I would close down tons of churches all over the place. I'd just close them. And I'd send the believers into other, you know, churches. But I'm not God. And there are times I wonder, why is he just not moving or what? In reality, a lot of these churches that are out there, it's almost like they are Christian daycares. And the staff, the pastor, all they're doing is just facilitating people on their journey to heaven. And there's no real substance. Doesn't mean there's no love. Doesn't mean there's no fellowship. It doesn't mean that there is sin. Doesn't mean any of that. It just means that the people, they sure couldn't do this. And I'll be honest here. There are times when I sit back and I think, you know, what am I doing? Because when I just think about the magnitude of everything that's contained in Scripture, quite frankly, I can't imagine that if I were like back in the days with the Apostle Paul, I just don't think he'd ever ask me to stand up and do anything. Might let me carry his bag or something like that. Because there's so much here. I wonder, you know, gee whiz, God, why are you using me the way you do? Because sometimes I just don't feel like I'm ready to be used by him. Well, here I am, though. You know, I guess he takes what he can get. And I don't say that disrespectful. You know, he's whatever's there, he's got to use whatever's available. So anyway, could you do this? Could you teach on this, on these things here? Well, let's take it a little bit further. I'm going to read some things to you. Questions, statements. And for those of you listening, I'll be reading them, you know, twice if you want to write these down. But I am going to give you a copy of... No, I'm going to make available. Let's put it like that. I'll make available a copy of what I'm going to read to you tonight. And, you know, what you do with it beyond that is totally up to you. And there's one statement on here that I did leave off that you'll need to write down so that you can add it to this list. And I'll just go ahead and start with the statement that I forgot to type on here. And it's this. It's a question. How do you study the Bible? Or maybe another way to put it would be, teach or explain to somebody how to study the Bible. Can you do that? Can you do that? You should be able to, especially if you sat through a lot of teaching like mine, where it's line upon line. You should be able to teach somebody how to study the Bible. You say, well, sure, I could do that. You didn't, you know, just go get you some commentaries. No, you're not allowed to use commentaries. Well, bless God, Brother Martin, how are you supposed to study the Bible if you don't use a commentary? This is something that's been covered more than once over the years. I'll go so far as to say, 99% of you should know how to teach this, how to study the Bible. You should know how to do that. If you can't, there's no condemnation here tonight. This is just revelation. If you can't, then why not? Why can't you teach that? Well, let's move on. The second one. What does the phrase
born again mean? What does the phrase born again mean? Now, every one of these that I am reading to you, your assignment is to develop a lesson for each one. And each lesson plan must be supported with a contextual use of Scripture. In other words, a one-sentence answer to any of these is insufficient. You must prepare a lesson plan. It's your assignment. You say, well, why are you telling me that it's my assignment? For when the time you ought to be teachers. See what I mean? So the second one, what does the phrase born again mean? Now here's the third one. What does the word salvation mean? What does the word salvation mean? Well, Brother Martin, you're asking me the same thing. I mean, you're born again, salvation. What does the word salvation mean? It does not mean the same thing as born again. Now, right there, I just got stoned. Tomatoes, rotten eggs, all kinds of stuff thrown at me. Drag him out and throw him down a hill. Kick him out, fire him, change the channel. Born again and salvation do not mean the same thing. I was raised to believe they do. Then, after studying to show myself approved, I began to realize that salvation and born again are not the same thing. They are not identical. So, what does the word salvation mean? Number four. Who is Paul describing in Romans chapter 7? We're not going to turn to Romans chapter 7. But who is Paul describing in Romans chapter 7? Now, depending upon who you ask, you're going to get all kinds of answers. And my experience has been the majority of those answers will be wrong. In Romans chapter 7, who is Paul describing? Who is he describing? Now, the fifth one. Is it possible for a person who has accepted Jesus as Savior to still go to hell? If yes, why? If no, why not? Is it possible for a person who has accepted Jesus as Savior to still go to hell? If yes, why? If no, why not? Now you definitely better be able to explain that one. Because somebody's eternity is resting on it. Let's move on to the sixth one. Does a Christian have a sin nature? Does a Christian have a sin nature? Now again, like any of these, you can't just give a one word or one sentence answer. You have to be able to develop a lesson plan on every one of these. And not something that's going to be like, you know, a 5-minute summary of what you think. You have to teach, disciple people into these truths. Because everything I'm reading to you tonight, all of these, this is just a sampling or an extension of what we read in Hebrews chapter 6 as far as foundational subjects. Things that should not be an issue, but sadly, they are. Number seven. What is Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10? And again, we're not going to turn to that. You can look it up later. What is Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10? Now, maybe you don't remember, like, well, I'm not really sure what's in that. That's okay. Now, I don't expect you to remember everything in there. But when you turn and read it, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I've heard that one before. And depending upon your background, That passage is going to mean a lot of different things. So what is Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10? Number 8. Identify and explain 5 benefits of worship. There's a lot more than 5, but identify and explain 5 benefits of worship. And as much teaching as I've done here on worship and as many prophecies as, that we've had from the Lord concerning worship, I would think you should be able to do this. But identify and explain 5 benefits of worship. Okay, number 9. What is Luke 6:38 talking about? A lot of people just grab for their wallets right then. What is Luke 6:38 talking about? Now you realize if there's a verse 38, that means there must be verses 1 through 37, right? What is Luke 6:38 talking about? Number 10. Identify and explain 3 things praying in tongues will do for a Christian. Identify and explain 3 things praying in tongues will do for a Christian. Now, on these, I realize that not everybody's going to do this. I understand it. But if this were, let's say this was college, and this was, let's say it's your 4th year of seminary, and this today is day 1 of class, day 1 of the school year, I would be giving these to you and telling you that these are your primary assignments for the entire school year. Whether you pass this 4th year of schooling depends on what you do with these lessons and how you develop them. And not only are you to develop them, but you are to develop them in such a way that you anticipate being asked to stand up and teach the lesson plan you have developed. Whether in front of this entire class or in another classroom setting, expect that you will be asked to teach these. Now, if this were a college, this is what I would be doing. And furthermore, I would give you due dates. And there would be an excellent chance that I would put you in a position to teach these. Somewhere at the school, as somebody helping me as the instructor, some way, somehow, in a local church, I don't know. Some way, somehow, I would try to put you in a position to teach these. Now, granted, the size of the class would present a challenge relative to finding enough opportunities for you to teach these things. Even if I had to get some Bible studies together and have you teach in that Bible study. Now you may be thinking, Pastor Jim, are you really going to ask me to teach these? What if I do? What if I do? Some of you are already like glad you put antiperspirant on today because you're feeling the challenge, man. But seriously, what if I do? What if 1 month from now, I come to you and I ask you to teach on how to study the Bible? What if I ask you to do that? You should have a lesson plan. In 1 month's time, gee whiz, you definitely should have a lesson plan developed for how to study the Bible, you ought to have a lesson. In 1 month's time, even if you work a full-time job, you ought to have a lesson plan developed for at least two of these in a month's time. Because remember, you are anticipating, you're going to be asked to do this. Now, for me, I already know my job type, my job assignment every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, all right? So I already know that I have to have this ongoing preparation, okay? But you don't. And therein lies part of the problem. Who studies for a test when there's no test? How many of you back when you were in school crammed for the test? And come on, you know, stay up late at night because you haven't even opened the textbook for a month. You laugh. You guys laughing because we've done it. And that's just not the way it's supposed to be done. All right, well, we're taking this a little more seriously here. And I am very serious about this. I have an expectation. Well, say it's more than just me. I mean, it's God. Based on what we've seen in Scripture here tonight, God has an expectation, not just of me. We know it's of me, of all of you. That you should be ready to teach not only what we've seen in Hebrews 6, but all these things that I've shared with you tonight. You should be able to do this. Because there has been so much teaching on all of these over the years, all the information that you need is there. It's been presented over time. So then, I would suggest, take this seriously. Yes, but Brother Martin, I get nervous when I stand in front of people. Not a problem. We'll turn the pulpit around. And you can preach to the apostles right there. That little display right there. You can talk to the cross. Now, I'm trying to, you know, interject there a little bit of humor, but I am very serious. Every one of you in here. Now, look, I know you all face challenges. I know you do. And every one of you in here, your time is consumed by different things. Because all of you, your lives are different. I realize that. And for some of you, there is so much going on in your life right now, it's possible your life is out of order. Maybe not, but maybe it is. So let's assume that for a moment it is out of order. And there's far too much going on than what should be. Okay. But in a month's time, you should be able to develop a lesson plan for one of these. Now, most of you could do more than one in a month's time. But you should be able to do a lesson plan for at least one of these. I am not telling you that I'm going to ask you to do this. What I am saying is, if I do ask, don't be surprised. You say, well, Brother Martin, I'm not like you. You've done this so much, you're used to it. That's okay. I didn't say you couldn't use notes. You can use all the notes you want. You can put all the scriptures down, and that's okay. I don't expect you to memorize it. It's okay to have a lot of notes. The key is having a lesson plan developed that adequately presents an answer to each one of these. This is part of discipling. And these are very basic things. There's a lot of stuff. Listen, there are some things that God has not released me to teach yet. Because there aren't enough people ready to receive it. And I don't say that as a criticism. I'm not talking simply about you. I'm talking about out there in the world. Because there are some things that God has shown me that, I can't even begin to hint at it tonight. But it will absolutely challenge some major beliefs of a lot of people.
When I say challenge, I'm talking create an uproar. And the accusations that will fly in my direction as a result won't be good. Well, I can handle it, but anyway, these are simple matters, foundational teachings that every one of us should be able to explain to somebody, especially new believers. Your assignment is to work on this. Now, one of the benefits of this is a lot of people, a lot of Christians would study the Bible if they had a reason. Now, I mean, just being alive and being a Christian should be reason enough for us, but our tendency is to not to do that, and I understand. But having something in hand is like, okay, here it is. This is what I'm supposed to do. Now I've got something, you know, tangible. I've got a piece of paper here in my hand. I've got something to look at, something to read, something that, yeah, okay, you know, here it is. What does the phrase born again mean? All right, bless God, I'll tell you what it means. I'll get my lesson plan ready. And then you develop a lesson. Now, for some of you, what you're going to find is, as you start digging into some of these, it's like, man, one lesson is not going to be enough. I'm going to need two lessons to teach this. I'm going to need three lessons to teach all of this. Praise God! Because what that means is the Holy Spirit is opening up more and more and more to you. And as you start to get into this, you may end up with 4, 5, 6 lesson plans on just one of these. And that's okay. It really is okay. It should be encouraging to you, and it will be. It'll be exciting to you. You'll be like a treasure hunter, you know, an Indiana Jones of Scripture, digging out all the treasures. But then once you have these lesson plans put together, you put them in a notebook or, you know, however you would save things, and just keep them. Just keep them handy. Because once you do this, don't be surprised if somewhere, somehow, at some point in time, somebody doesn't come to you and ask the very thing you worked on. And the reason for that is because God knows now you're ready, not simply with an opinion, but with a boatload of Scripture to share with this other person. In fact, they may even ask you for a copy of your notes. That's how important all of this is. And this is part of the studying to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's all Scripture preparing us. It is getting to this place of being teachers, not Bible scholars, not, you know, Greek and Hebrew experts, not that at all. Just being able to take from Scripture and share. However you do it. And some people, they like outline form. Some, you know, just how whatever works for you is okay. But I'll give these to you. No. Again, correct myself. I will make them available to you. And tonight when we're done, I'm going to put them right up here so that you can come up and get one if you want. And if you don't want to do this, hey, no stones are going to be cast. This is for you. This is for your benefit. And it's really to try and help you to maybe go even deeper into your relationship with God, your fellowship, your learning from Him, but kind of like a catalyst. That's the right word. A catalyst to help you maybe to really get into studying the Bible more than what you ever have before, and not just studying it for the sake of saying, well, all right, I studied it. But by the time you're done, you know, you've got something tangible in your hands that the Holy Spirit produced through you, and now you've got some real results of your study. So, take this, if you want to. Don't take it lightly. And if you have any questions about resource material, in other words, When I minister, many times I'll look up the definitions of Greek and Hebrew words and so forth, or sometimes I'll dig up some historical background on something and what have you. You know, the commentaries, the only time I really would read a commentary is if it's one that focuses a lot on historical stuff. But if you have questions about that, I mean, yeah, I can try to point you in the right direction. But take this and do it. And, you know, put these lessons together. And when I say put the lessons together, you know, count on teaching for, you know, 30 minutes for sure. Definitely 30 minutes. A lot of times people think, you know, oh, what am I going to say in 30 minutes? Well, then you get up and you start, and 45 minutes later, it's like, when is she going to end? Glory to God. But that'll happen. You know, the Holy Spirit, He'll just start bringing stuff out. And, you know, are you sure I'm going to have to? Listen, just make up the lesson plan, okay? Just do it. And if I come to you and say, hey, you know, would you mind sharing your lesson on such and such? And as soon as I ask, you know, your knees start knocking and your teeth start chattering and your nostrils start flaring, your ears all wiggly and everything. And it's like, I don't know if I can. You know, if you're that terrified, okay, you know, we might give you a pass on this because I don't want people passing out in the middle. See, that's the problem. A church like this, if you pass out and fall down, we'll just think you got slain in the spirit. We'll let you lay there. It's like, oh, the Holy Ghost. But take this and work on it. And obviously pray and ask God to help you. And I do suggest that prior to starting on any of these, pray, just pray. You know, Father, I'm going to start working on, you know, whichever one. And I'm asking you, you know, to begin to prepare me for this. And wait a few days, you know, keep praying about it, wait a few days, and then just start into it, you know. And there's no grade. And your eternal salvation is not based on this. This is something for us to be prepared so that we're able to do what God says, and that is to disciple, well, each other. Because I'll guarantee you, if I come to you and ask you to do this and you stand up and you teach, something you say is going to make an impact on me in a good way. Something you say, I'll write down. It's like, man, that was good. And you have no idea how God will use this. So I want you to be encouraged by this, not frightened. And I want you to see this as a tool to help you in your pursuit of what he referred to in Scripture, the perfection, that spiritual perfection. And be encouraged by it. Praise God.